president and all at the end of the day, all the legislature to ensure that the government departments make, delivers to the people, delivers services to the people. We are the watchdog for the people. So that is why the legislature has to have that oversight over the taxpayer's money to ensure that government gives the services to the people.
Welcome to the Conversation with Democracy podcast, where we uncover the successes and challenges of initiatives underway to build democracies in Africa. My name is Liz Letabele, and this podcast is brought to you by Democracy Works Foundation. Join us to find out about our work with our partners to build inclusive, equitable, and sustainable consensus democracy. In other words, democracies that work. COVID-19 has fundamentally changed all aspects of our lives, including the ways in which we interact with each other and with our elected representatives. Without the ability to conduct site visits, MPLs have had to drastically rethink how they work, be creative and flexible to remain relevant and accessible throughout the crisis. Given the scale of the crisis, a national state of disaster was declared under the Disaster Management Act. The Act gives prerogative to the executive to exercise wide-ranging powers to mobilize a swift response to protect our nation and her people. In the course of combating the pandemic, large amounts of money and other resources have been ring-fenced to fund the national response to the pandemic. Under these circumstances, the importance and necessity of legislative oversight to hold the executive to account cannot be overstated. Today, we speak to Carmen Hoban, manager of the Public Education and Participation Unit at the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature. We explore the role of provincial legislatures in ensuring executive accountability, conducting oversight, and promoting public participation, and consider how COVID-19 has impacted on the legislature's ability to carry out its mandate.
I just wanted to put the spotlight on the kind of work that we have been doing with supporting members of provincial legislatures to carry out their mandates. A big mandate, especially during this time, relates to oversight and facilitating accountability through public participation. Do you want to speak briefly to the training that we have been doing with the Westminster Foundation, kind of what the key learnings were for you or for your colleagues, and also if there are any other kind of support initiatives, or we can even speak around some of the other plans that we have in our action plan to support the work of the provincial legislatures and specifically members of the provincial legislatures.
Initially, we were planning to have the training in March this year. And with the pandemic, we had to postpone. But then through a lot of engagements that we had, we then decided with the Democracy Works Foundation that here is actually an opportunity for us to have this online training with the members. And when we presented it to the speaker, is very passionate about public participation. So the speaker definitely supported this program. And as you know, the speaker, she's one of those members that does 99% attend the training. And she's also participating in the training. And we also have other members of the provincial legislature that has really enjoyed, and also have seen that as much as it's a learning, they also learn about each other. They learn things that they did not know. So this really is a platform for members to just discuss the challenges, opportunities as a legislature, and really one of the other as a legislature to look at our public participation practices, to look at our mechanisms, to see how we can really flourish and improve, especially in this situation of COVID-19. So I must really thank Democracy Works Foundation as well as Westminster Foundation for the training, for the enlightening, and I'm sure I'm speaking for members as well. It has really been impactful training, and we are so excited with our next session. We will be having CSOs to really share their experience as well as for an opportunity for the members to really engage with the CSO partners. And I think this is just so exciting because we are also looking at planning a CSO day where we as the legislature are going to invite, and this will really, because I feel that, you know, the role that CSOs plays in South Africa in the province is remarkable, because those are really the people that have engagements with the communities. They know the issues out there. They definitely know what is happening. And for the legislature to really collaborate with CSOs, it will just strengthen the public participation initiatives. I must also extend our gratitude to Victoria, the trainer. She's been an excellent facilitator, as well as yourself, Mira. Thank you for the support that we've received.
Thank you so much, Carmen. We are, of course, also very grateful for the opportunity and the partnership that we've been able to build with you. You know, the learnings for us out of this training have been huge.
Public participation is crucial to enable legislatures to conduct oversight over the executive. It is only through the input from the public that the provincial legislature can know where to direct their engagements with the executive. Therefore, promoting public participation is a core function of legislatures. The Northern Cape Provincial Legislature has demonstrated a commitment to involving CSOs and communities in its processes. Let's explore how the legislature addresses citizen concerns.
Picture a scenario with me, Carmen, where there's a member of a civil society who's noticing a severe service delivery challenge, for instance, like a child-headed household that's not receiving food parcels or that don't have IDs, for example, to access any kind of relief fund. And I'm a concerned citizen. I've reached out to my representative, but I'm not receiving any response from my counselor, for instance. What do I do? What would be the steps that you would guide me to take in order to facilitate oversight?
Okay, it would now depend where you are based, where you would go to. So if, as a citizen, you would go to one of our offices, one of our regional offices, let's make an example, because we've been speaking about Namaqualand, and because it's the furthest district from the Francis Baard, you would go to the Namaqualand regionalizing officer. You would specifically engage your regionalizing officer. He or she would assist you firstly. Maybe you do not have the correct contact numbers. Maybe you have not, if you've had a problem, maybe you did not go to the correct person, or maybe somebody out there did not assist you or direct you to the correct contact person. So point of departure would be the regionalizing officer can assist you, connect you to a relevant social, because you've mentioned it's a childhood, you know, it's a social issue. Connect you with the social department, ensure and assist you in that regard. But if now, if you have a situation where you as a citizen have already done that, you've went to the correct person, you are so frustrated and you have the relevant evidence, you have your letters, you have the information, you have those information, and you've gone to all of those avenues. And then the last resort, which we would encourage you as a citizen and as your right, is then to lodge a petition to the legislature. Write a formal petition to the legislature. We would guide you in terms of the procedure and the process that you need to follow in submitting your petition. We even assist the regionalizing offices, normally also assist communities to forward your petition to the speaker's office. So that is the kind of assistance that you will get. You know, sometimes it's really not maybe a problem for you to elevate it to a petition. It might just be to connect you to the correct person and assist to follow up.
Thank you so much, Carmen, for taking the time to speak to us today. We are very grateful for the excellent working relationship that we have been able to build. And I know that this is to a large degree also due to your hard work and especially your passion around facilitating public participation and collaborating with the civil society sector. So we are very grateful. Thank you for all your time and all your hard work.
Thank you very much, Mira. Really, I think this is really demonstrates that collaboration definitely works. And it really, like we indicated earlier, one of the levels of public participation is collaboration. And this is definitely an example of public participation in the making, you know, making public participation work, making participatory democracy, strengthening it, deepening it, and making sure that our communities out there are empowered. Because at the end of the day, empowered community can make a better empowered decision. And at the end of the day, as much as public participation, it's a two-way relationship. Yes, as much as we inform, we empower, we will educate. But at the end of the day, the citizen, the voice of the citizen, is the strongest the voice that you will find. And I think we just want to ensure that whatever decision you make, it will be empowered and it will be an informed decision.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you.
The Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislature project was made possible with the co-funding and technical assistance from the European Union and the Westminster Foundation for Democracy. This is Liz Letebele, signing out with Conversations with Democracy. Follow our channel and our website, www.democracyworksfoundation.org. Bye.